Okay, all right, quick review. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah is running from the presence of God, or from what God, he can't really run from the presence of God. He's running away from what God wants him to do, which means he's being disobedient. Because God in verse 2 says, I need you to go to Nineveh and preach to them because their wickedness has come up before me. All right. But, that's a bad word, but Jonah rose to go into Tarshish. Okay, and as we are scrolling through my notes and going through, and we'll find out later why Jonah is doing this, but God brings a great wind upon the sea, there's a storm, and these unsaved mariners are in trouble. And so some of the things that we talked about was Jonah's disobedience, his continued disobedience, is putting everybody else in danger that's around him. So it is never just about, our decisions are never just about us. Other people get impacted by this. All right. Some of the things that we saw is that while he has caused others to go through the storm, he's sleeping. And sometimes as believers or as people, we'll cause trouble for other folks and be totally unaware of the damage and the danger and the distress that we're putting others in as a result of our actions. So again, chapter 1 is not the type of Christians that we want to be, where we don't care about what's happening and what we're doing, how our decisions are impacting others. All right? And just stop me if you see something else. The shipmaster says, what meaneth thou, O sleeper? Rise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So Jonah already knows the reasons why these people are struggling. And what I said is, this is a sad example of Christianity today, because it's still possible for anointed and mature believers, even today, to be stuck in their own desires and their own plans and do nothing to assist those who they see struggling around them. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to pray for the folks in Afghanistan, because they're struggling. And because I don't live in Afghanistan, it's like, hey, I don't want to be in that situation where I'm not sensitive to what others are going through. And I love David Guzik. I talked about this last week, where he says, sleeping Christians snooze on while the world needs their message and testimony. And the other thing he points out is that sleeping Christians are in danger and they don't even know it. You could be in disobedience to what God wants us to do or wants you to do and be very comfortable being disobedient and not realize that you're putting yourself and others in danger. All right? Sometimes the source of the danger comes from good people, because they ask him the question, hey, it fell on you. You're the reason for this. What's your job? Where'd you come from? What's your country? What kind of people are you from, or whatever? Because I would ask those questions, so I think he's on the wrong side of town, that he's a bad person, that he's a thief or a robber or a criminal or something like that. And we find out that that's not the case. He doesn't come from a family of crooks. He's a man of God. And so it's a really bad testimony when the people of God are the reason why folks are going through tough times. Somewhere in there, there's an application for today. I just don't want to be on the wrong side of that application. All right. Go ahead. Somebody's going to say something.
Hey, Sandra.
There you go. Sandra's back. All right. Yeah, I did. I was wondering where all my favorites were at. Okay. I think we left off at verse 10 last week, so let's pick up at verse 11. I like this. Let me go back to just review verse 10, where he tells them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. So that's neat. He's talking good. He fears the Lord, and yet he's in disobedience to God. Open rebellion to God, but yet he says, I fear the Lord. Application for today. Christians can talk a good talk, but we need to live it. Because he's telling these unbelievers, hey, I fear the Lord, and yet these unbelievers are more afraid of what's happening in their relationship with God than the man of God. We may know God, and we may know the fear of the Lord, and we may serve God, and still be in disobedience, and not be in right standing with God. I just let that marinate for a little bit. Again, as I said in the beginning, chapter 1 and 4, I do not want to be that type of Christian that Jonah is. Okay. Now let's get to the new stuff because we got a lot to cover. And let's see how far we go. All right, verse 11. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? Because, I mean, they're afraid. They know this is. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And there's a storm. Okay. Good gracious. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. So finally, he's confessed again that, hey, all of this is happening because of me. Just throw me overboard. Now, some people might... Yes.
It comes to my mind right now when you read that scripture, how true it is that sometimes when we're in disobedience, even though we love God, I mean, of course, we're not showing the full love we should, but when we're in disobedience, sometimes we'd rather stay in we'd rather go through a storm. We'd rather keep on in our dysfunction. We'd rather keep on than get right with God.
Right.
He was willing to be thrown over the boat rather than go obey God and go to Nineveh. And I'm sure I have been there before.
Yeah. You bring up a good point because I thought it was very noble when he said, take me up and cast me into the sea. But because I thought that was a sign of humility. And you can argue that it might be a sign of humility. But to be honest, I don't think he's repentant or being humble at all. I think that he hates, and we'll see this in chapter 4. He hates, and he's so prejudiced against the Ninevites that he's like, you know what? I'm going to my grave just like this in disobedience to God. And we got to be careful that Christians. This guy has pity parties like you won't believe. I thought I was the king of pity parties, but this guy. Yeah. So I don't think he's at step one.
Zero.
Which is just really sad. I think he's like. And you got to remember, this is not an unbeliever. This is a preacher. And, you know, I don't want to even talk about the application for today, but I will because that's what the study's about. We got to make sure that there's not a reason or a cause or something that we're so passionate about in our emotions that it takes us outside of the will of God. I want my passions and emotions to be governed by the Holy Spirit for His glory. Amen. Rather than for myself. And if we get caught up in some of these things, then we'll be doing the same mistake that Jonah's doing here.
I think, too, that along with what I said, it can be unbelief in us that keeps us from stopping and beginning again with God. And, I mean, we just keep on, we're in this mindset, we're in turmoil in our mind, and we're just like, I can't do this, God. I don't want to do it. I can't. I won't. And at any moment, God's ready to help Jonah. He's ready to help us. But we just want to extend our hand and say, help me.
Right.
Help me to obey.
Well, that's why I said chapter 1 is not the kind of Christian I want to be. But chapter 2 is the kind of Christian I want to be. But we haven't got there yet because Jonah's still acting crazy in chapter 1. All right. So, I like the response of the men. They said, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was, okay, there's that word again.
Tempestuous.
Praise him.
Very good.
Tempestuous against them. All right. It's like I'm reading Shakespeare here sometimes. All right. So, here's the application that I got from that. Often through the Word and our relationship with God, we Christians may have the answer to the storms and challenges of life that others who are about to perish may need to hear. Often through the Word, Jonah knew the answer to get them through the storm. The question is, are they going to obey? As hard as it is, that's the answer. All right? That's the answer. And when you don't listen to the Word of God and you keep trying to do it on your own, you'll find that, I've got it here in my notes, they've got too much working against them. I mean, they're working against God and they're trying to do it in their own strength. And here's the application. Our efforts working against God on our own to resolve our problems in the midst of the storm, in the end, will fail. And what do we have to show for it? A lot of wasted effort. And you get tired. Anybody ever been tired trying to work it out on your own?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just obey the Word of God. Just trust in God.
Obey.
Yep. We have all been in the same situation, I'm sure. Yeah. We may be facing storms and situations in life that we are not able to handle.
Hallelujah.
Yep. There you go. So the answer is humbly seek answers and relief from God. Get an answer from the Bible. Alright. Here's one. The longer we wait to obey, the more wasted effort, the more we tire, the longer we remain in a storm, and the longer we can't find peace, the longer our breakthrough is delayed, the longer we remain outside and fighting against the perfect will and plan of God. They did not want to throw him overboard. They did not realize that in their logic, I understand, in their own morality, that's nice. But even their good is fighting against the plan of God. Wow. What they thought was good was still fighting against the plan of God. I just let that marinate for a little bit. Sometimes we think that something is good, but it still might not be in line with what God is planning. And all we do is we delay the plan of God by still trying to do this in our own strength.
A lot of things might be permissible, but not beneficial.
Oh, that is well said. Can you say that one more time? Because some things are legal, but they may not be spiritual. Can you say that one more time? That's good.
It might be permissible,
right,
but not beneficial.
I like that. And it rhymes, too.
I can hear that this week, so it's fresh.
Okay. All right, here's one. Some things that don't make sense, we may have to let go and cast overboard.
Yes.
Some things that don't make sense, we may have to let go and cast overboard to get out of the storm. We may not want to do it. Amen on that.
Amen.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I want to hold on to my anger, my hurt, my pity party. I want to hold on to it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm not hurting anybody. I want to hold on to it. But I will wear myself out. That's it. All right. It will not turn out for our good in the end if we hold on to something that's contrary to God's plan. All right. So how do they respond? Here we go. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah, cast him forth in the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. All right. Now, I love this. And these are unbelievers. And I love this because they got a word from God. They didn't just run off and say, well, Jonah said, especially from Jonah of all people, well, Jonah said this, so we're just going to run with it. You need to test the word that you get from somebody else.
Yes.
So they're like, I got this word from somebody, but I'm not exactly sure that this is okay. I need to make sure that this lines up with the plan of God. So it lines up with the plan of God. They throw them overboard. They want to make sure. Now, I tell you, I don't know about the different steps. Well, I do know about the different steps. These guys seem like they are at step one. They are definitely at step two because they're repenting from trying to work this out on their own. They're really trusting in the word of the Lord now. Unbelievers trusting in the word of the Lord. They're no longer unbelievers. They're calling on the name of the Lord because they're in need.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes.
I have been here 2 weeks, so I got makeup for it. I have written in my Bible from some point, I have the pagans are even repenting.
Yes! Oh my God. Okay, so here's. This
before the people of God. I may have a word for this day and
night. Susan, you're all over this. I'm telling you, this is not just for unbelievers, this is really for believers. The world is repenting before Christians recognize that even though they got a relationship with God, they're out of alignment and working against God. This is so powerful. It's just such a powerful word. And I don't want to be, again, I'll say it again. I don't want to be the kind of Christian that Jonah is in chapter 1. Where the world gets the message and they repent before we do. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So they're going through level one. They're humble. They're crying out to the Lord. Two, they repent. They stop trying to do this on their own. Three, their hope is totally in God. Mm-hmm. And when you get lined up like that, then God does the rest. So they took up Jonah, cast him in the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging, which means the word was true.
Yeah.
Look at the impact that this has. Verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They decided to turn their life over to the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, this is the power of God. It may not make sense, but people got saved as a result of this. That's powerful.
That's awesome.
And God can... Oh, and this...
Hey, just came to me. That's the example of the Pharisees when Jesus came. Everybody was getting saved, but the church spoke.
Oh, my goodness.
Because Jesus said, I'll only give you the example of Jonah because he was so tired of them not believing. And he said he was in the fish 3 days and he came out. So that was an example of Jesus. But this is also an example of the times that Jesus was in.
Yes. Everybody can't be getting saved except for the Christians. In fact, the Christians should be helping. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. I put it in my notes. The soul's sorrow will continue to increase as long as it relies on its own efforts.
Yeah.
Unbelievers. The way of safety for sinners is to be found in the sacrifice of another on their behalf. Jonah's sacrifice, a type of Christ, is allowing them to be saved from the storm. Yeah. Unbelievers getting saved and Jonah's still stuck on stupid. And it was only because of the storm. It was only because of the storm that they came to know the Lord. So now they know the Lord because of a storm and they see how the storm, they're at peace now. While the unbelievers, or the new believers, let's not even call them unbelievers anymore. The new believers are having peace. But now we got the Christians still in the storm. Verse 17. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Of course, reference Matthew 12:40. Christ uses this example in his ministry. And I've got some notes here. What God prepared to protect Jonah was not the Ritz. But it was quite sufficient. It worked. So you might not be happy with your current situation that we probably put ourselves in. But God is keeping us even in the midst of our disobedience for a reason. All right. Chapter 2. We might make it. Then, after all of this, I don't know why. Look at your neighbor and say, "You know, I just don't know why it takes us all. Why it takes all of this? I just don't know why it takes all of this.
I just don't know why it takes all of this."
So then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He didn't pray before. He's in the storm, and he didn't pray in the storm. Now he's stuck in the fish belly, all right? And he finally does step number one and said, "I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord." What caused him to start to finally pray? What he was going through. If he hadn't been disobedient in the first place, he could have avoided all of this. Come on, Christians, 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 please. Don't be disobedient to the word of God. We can avoid a whole lot of stuff if we just
obey.
Trust and obey. Trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Just trust and obey. All right. So out of the belly of hell, because it's kind of like Christ saying, "I'm in the grave," "I cried, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep." Amen. "In the midst of the seas, the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple." All right. This is a powerful prayer. I want to break it down, because while I don't want to be the kind of Christian Jonah was in chapter 1, I daily need to be the type of Christian that Jonah is in chapter 2. Here's some observations, key points that I brought out from this. One, no matter where you are, you can still pray, and God will hear you from that place, situation, and condition. Praise God. This dude's in the belly of a fish, and God can still hear him, and he can still talk to him while he's in that situation. All right, even though his failure and disobedience landed him in a bad place, God is still his God. Whoa, I'm liking Jonah now. All right. Humility, first step. That's his current condition. In the middle of the situation, he knows if he calls on God, God will hear him. Application for today. Humble yourself. Cry out to God when you're in a tough situation. He will hear you. That is faith. All right, no matter what our current condition from our failures and bad decisions, when we humbly cry out to God, he hears us. How do I know Jonah is humble? Because he's no longer trying to work this problem out on his own. He goes to God. Why do we allow ourselves to get in situations where we have our back to the wall and then we go to God then? I want to go to him before I get stuck in a belly of a whale situation. God's going to hear him because he's coming correctly. He acknowledges that the problem is too big. The situation is over his head. Don't get stuck that he's in the belly of a whale. You got to figure out what your whale belly is and say, "Hey, this situation is over my head." I don't know if Al made it in there, but you can look at Al and just say, "This thing is too big."
Yeah.
I give Al to the Lord. All right. He acknowledges his mistakes. He takes responsibility. All right. And he looks to God. So I'm saying here, step one is completed. Let's see if he gets to step two. Verse 5. "The waters compass me about, even to the soul." So his feelings, his emotions, his logic, his intellect, even that is being buried. "The depth closed me around. The weeds have wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. This is step two. He is buried. He is burying himself. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. He's in the belly of a whale, and he's talking faith that God is going to raise him up from this. He's buried even to the soul. That's the emotion. That's the essence of himself. That's step two completed. Oh, I saw this in my commentaries. Several commentators observed that Jonah's prayer has some of the same language from Psalms. He doesn't have a Bible. He doesn't have a concordance. He doesn't have Google where he can search up the word. It's good to have the word hidden in your heart so that you might not sin against him. So we don't have time today, but if you look at Psalms 18 and Psalms 42 and Psalm 31 and Psalm 69:1 that I got referenced here, you'll see the same words that the psalmist is saying being said again in Jonah's prayer. When you get stuck like this, it's good to have enough word and pray the word back to God. Yep. And I love this one. In fact, there's a song by the Winans, Ron Winans, with this verse. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee. Wonderful song. Is off
wow,
of this one.
He's a teacher and he's got a good voice.
I got a decent voice. Don't pump me up now. I'll start to. Yeehaw! Anyway. When my soul faded, when I did step two, I remembered the Lord. They that observe lying vanities forsake your own mercy. When you trust in things that are outside of the will of God, you cast off his mercy. But he's changing his mind. But I'm going to sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. And I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That is step three all over itself. Alright? I like what he says here. Those that obey lies and vain things, impulses, ideas that are contrary to the will of God, they surrender the mercy that God has for them. What they are holding on to, some of the things what Susan said, and observing, is vain and worthless in the end. I'd rather value the mercy of God higher. Instead of relying and placing his hope on vain things, he now turns to worship and sacrifice to God. Some points. Regardless of your situation, even if you have nothing in your hand, you can still bring God a sacrifice. He's in the belly of a whale. He's got nothing. What does he bring? Praise and thanksgiving. Look at the power of praise and thanksgiving. When you left your checkbook and your credit card at home, you don't have Wi-Fi in the whale, you can still bring God a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Look how powerful it is. This is the kind of Christian I want to be in chapter 2. He's in a bad situation and he's thanking God. Wow! Did you catch that?
Could you please roll back a little bit?
I can.
Thank you. I just want to take a picture of your notes.
Oh, and I will post these notes on my website as well. But yeah. Is that far enough, Sandra?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
All right. Notice the powerful position Jonah finds himself in. He's still in the whale. But he's in better position in the whale than he was when he was in the storm. Before the storm came. He thanks God even though his physical circumstances and conditions remain unchanged. Deanna, I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about this, and I'm just so encouraged when I see this verse. Despite the physical circumstances, and conditions, he's got a reason to praise and give thanks to God. God bless you. He was able to find something to be thankful for in this situation. Wow, that's a powerful application today. Can we thank God for anything today? Yes. Even our very salvation. And I don't know if I got this out of commentary or the Spirit gave this, but I see 2 Corinthians 4:7 through 11. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. It's a good verse to read. 2 Corinthians 4:7-11. When you've done everything that God has told you to do, when you get back in alignment and you follow those first 3-4 steps, the Lord spake to the fish and vomited out Jonah onto dry land. When we get in alignment with God, God will speak to our circumstance and deliver us. Praise God. He goes through those first 3 steps. Now that he has gone through this, he is ready to minister to others. He wasn't before. And sometimes we have to go through some things before we truly are ready to do a work for God. And prayer is an important part for our breakthrough. Let me save that. All right, chapter 3. We might make it. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. Here's step 4, finally. Dummy. He obeyed. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of God. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3-day journey. Commentaries say that Nineveh was so big, it'd take you three days to walk around it. That's big. Now, you know, they didn't have Uber and stuff like that, so. Look at how the previous process of going through those steps has changed in Jonah and his attitude towards service and obedience. We shouldn't even think about trying to do any kind of service projects unless we go through these steps. Here's some key points. Jonah could have avoided all this drama if he had just went ahead and obeyed God the first time. Woo! Jonah could have avoided all the drama and the difficulty if he had just obeyed God the first time. All right. God doesn't give him a new assignment until Jonah has gone through what appears to be the 3-step 4 process or whatever. And once he goes through that process, he begins to serve others and bring God glory by obeying the word of God, following the Spirit. Same thing applies to us. I like this. The purpose of Jonah being down and out in the great fish so that God can lift him up so he could arise. Being humble and down is only part of the plan. Hear me. Arising again is part of the plan as well. We don't stay down. Application for today. Same steps apply to all believers today. We should be taking this as a lesson to make sure that we look like the Jonah of chapter 2 and 3 and not the Jonah of chapter 1 and 4. God cannot effectively use us, and we can't effectively deal with others until we have gone through this process. I can give you all kinds of examples if I had time of how I held on to some things that I needed to let go. And until I went through that process, I could not have victory and be able to minister and deal with relatives, spouses, kids, friends, co-workers, etc. And really minister to them until I went through the same process. I like this one. For all of us Christians who have screwed up, the first failure and disobedience did not disqualify him from being used later for the kingdom of God. Especially for those of us who are trapped in our past failures. Our previous failures and mistakes do not disqualify you from being used to do great things. You just got to go through the process. Oh, I like this one. And don't worry when others don't want to release you from your past mistakes. Doesn't matter what they think. It matters what God thinks. Make sure you are properly aligned with Him. All right. This will help you, especially as I'm looking for people to mentor and to co-teach this class with me. God is clearing His directions. You don't have to be like anybody else. You don't have to be creative. All you got to do is speak what God shows you. And I love this one. I got to highlight this. God loves us so much, He's willing and wants to use us again. Isn't that great? God loves us so much, He is willing and wants to use us again. Okay. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. He cried, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." 40 days. Number of probation. You guys are in trouble. God is going to get you. That's a good word. Notice this. So the people, and you'll see the steps here. The people of Nineveh believe God. A word and belief in the word of God is important. So they believe God. One. Two, they proclaimed a fast and put out a sackcloth, which means they weren't dressed for the rich. I think that sounds like humility to me. Mm-hmm. From the greatest to the least. That lets you know everybody has to go through this process. Everybody has to go through this process. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him and covered them with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Even the king, the great king of Nineveh, humbled himself. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything." Which means dedicate even your stuff to God. "Let them not feed nor drink water, but let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God." That's humility and repentance. Yay, here's the repentance part. "Let them turn everyone from his evil way." That's step two. "And from the violence that is in their hands." Doesn't that sound like today? And here's step three. Trusting in God. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger that we perish not? Everybody has to go through the same three steps. All right. The people understand, and I'm going to go through this quickly because they went through steps one, two, and three. Step one, completed, humble. Step two, they're fasting, they're repenting, they're turning away from self. Step three, they are trusting in God. And I think this is also an application for our country and the world today. The process is the same. The question is, will we repent? All right, check this out. "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not." When you do everything that you're supposed to do, God does the rest. Now, I want to, there's a reference to Jeremiah 18. We don't have time for it right now because I only got like a few more minutes. God considers these steps are good works. What did they do? They just followed the steps and repented. God considers that good works. Humble obedience is good work. Repentance. From doing things our own way is considered good work. And God will respond to us differently when we sincerely humble ourselves, repent, and trust in Him. All right, chapter 4. I don't think we're going to get through this, but I'm going to take about 2-3 minutes. We'll see how far we can go. Oh, and this is not the type of Christian you want to be. But it's displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I prayed these crazy prayers too. He prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I yet left my country? So one of the reasons why he disobeyed and ran from God is that he hated these people from Nineveh so much that he didn't want to see them get saved.
That's probably why God chose
them. Wow. Therefore, it could be why you of all people, I'm going to show you that. You know what? Got to be careful. You got to be careful. I know we don't see ourselves like this, but I want to make sure I never get to that point where I feel that way against people who might have done me wrong.
Yeah.
Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Wow. And it might be hard for us to understand this, but I think I saw in one of the commentaries that somebody gave the example of, that's almost like a Jewish person saying, I wish that Nazi Germany would go to hell.
Yeah.
It makes logical sense.
We're supposed to love our enemies, how hard it is.
It might be hard, but it's easier when you go through those steps.
Yeah.
All right, observation. Jonah was in right standing with God just moments earlier and producing kingdom fruit where angels are rejoicing because an entire city was saved. Yet right after this victory, Jonah falls quickly out of right standing and alignment with God. All Christians should be careful. Just because you were close to God and doing His will one moment doesn't mean that you are still in alignment the next minute. Circumstances and desires of this life can move you spiritually out of alignment.
Mm.
Here's a Matthew Henry commentary. He now begins, oh yeah, I'm going to close on this, and we'll try to finish this next week or whatever, but we'll just see how the Lord leads, because this is big. He now begins to justify himself, this is according to Matthew Henry, and his fleeing from the presence of the Lord when he was first ordered to go to Nineveh. Look, he moved from repentance while in the belly of the fish to justifying why he was disobedient in the first place. That's dangerous. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
He's justifying his disobedience. And whenever we say, well, Lord, blah, blah, blah. But when we justify our disobedience, that's a very dangerous place to be. And it knocks us out of alignment. You can't justify storming the Capitol. You can't justify killing babies. You can't justify injustice.
You just got to be sorry.
It's dangerous. It's besides it. When people refuse to take full responsibility for their evil actions by blaming others, that's bad.
Yeah.
I was watching TV. I heard this former inmate say he's a wife abuser at the time. And they asked him, why did you abuse your wife? Do you think you're doing something wrong? He justified. He said, you know what? If she had just kept her mouth shut, I wouldn't have been beaten up on her. Well, I need to stop looking at Al. All right, so.
I was thinking about how I like to hold that man and be here.
That is faulty logic. You can't blame somebody else for you doing evil. Excuse me. When we try to justify our actions, it takes us in the opposite direction and hinders us from proper alignment with God. So you may be saying, I'm not being disobedient to God. I'm not in the boat. I'm not going in the opposite direction. When you justify you're wrong, you are going in the opposite direction. And you stay lost and outside of the will of God in this state of mind. The corrective actions would be for Jonah to go through the process, pick up his cross once again. However, unfortunately, God sometimes needs to create another storm in our life or take away a blessing before we see the light. I'm going to stop right there. Al, remind me that we're going to pick up at verse 3 if we can do that quickly. But we're going into the parables next week. All right. I don't know about you, but this is just a powerful lesson for me. I mean, I got to watch myself. Because believers turn into Jonah all the time. And I just need to keep practicing chapter 2 and chapter 3. Any thoughts or questions before we end this?